This is a Daf Yomi Masechta review, Masechta Megillah, tape number one. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible and summarizing the highlights and key kolalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of HaChover Mordechai ben Reb Yosef Pressburger, Zichrono Livracha. The tape begins from Masechta Megillah, Daf Beis. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
This tape is in Masechtas Megillah, and we are beginning from Daf Beis, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. The Megillah is able to be read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, or the 15th day of Adar. The cities that had a wall in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun read it on the 15th. Other cities read it on the 14th. Village people read it on the Yom HaKnisa, which is the Monday or Thursday that they come into the big cities for court, shopping, and other things. This is based on Takanas Ezra. A ben ir would be mitzi these b'nei kvar in the mitzvahs Megillah on these Monday or Thursday days preceding Purim. For example, if Purim, Yom Yudalot, falls on Wednesday, the B'nai Kfarim would read it on Yud Beis on Monday, the day that the people came to the large cities. The Mishnah ends by saying that if Tesvav, Yom Tesvav, falls on Shabbos, so in the cities where we would read it on Tesvav, we push it back to Yudalot, since we never read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why is this so? Since we're afraid of Shama Yavi Reno Dalet Amos, Pershus Harabim. We're afraid that if a person may end up carrying the Megillah, Dalet Amos, he'll carry Dalet Amos, and he'll come to be over on the Isser of carrying on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, if the Megillah only mentions Yud Dalet and Tesvav for Megillah, how does our Mishnah say that Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel are also mutter to read the Megillah? The Gemara answers that the Chachamim were makel for the B'nai Kfar, since they need to provide food and drink for the people of the villages. The Gemara says one Bezdin cannot revoke an edict of an earlier Bezdin unless it is greater than the original one. I.e. the Anshei Knesset HaGdela was the greatest Bezdin, so we're not allowed to change any of their takanas. That Bezdin instituted Yom Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel also for Megillah, since they got a remez from the Megillah. What is this remez? The Pasuk says, L'kayem es yimei ha-purim ha-eila bizmanehem. Bizmanehem is plural, therefore it came to include Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. The Gemara says that these variable days for Megillah only applied when they were Mekadesh HaChadesh Beriyah, and the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael. But today, where the calendar is set, it's kavua, and we live far from Eretz Yisrael, we only read the Megillah on Yom Yud Dalet or Tesvav. Since if we allowed the reading of the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, they may come to count days from Pesach, and then people would end up eating chametz on Pesach, because they may come to count wrong from those days. The Gemara says, we know the walled cities celebrate on Tesvav. And how do we know this? We know this from a series of psukim in Megillas Esther. Bizmanehem is one of them. And although Shushan did not have a wall from the days of Yehoshua, they can still read on Tesvav, since the miracle happened there on Tesvav. Daf Gimel. The Targum of the Torah was written by Uncleus the Ger, who learnt it from his Rabbeim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And the Novi was translated by Yonas ben Uziel. He also wanted to write a Targum for Ksuvim, but a Baskol told him not to, since the Sayyid of Zman Mashiach is revealed in Daniel. Halacha L'Maisha Misinai tells us where the vowels and the different notes and the grammar of all the psukim in the Torah are. The Gemara says that in some ways Daniel was more chashuv than Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and some say the other way around. If a person is afraid and he is trembling from something, then the Eitz says that he should say Kriya Shema to protect him and drive off his fears. The Gemara says Mishpachos of Kohanim and Leviim, they should interrupt the Avodah to hear the Megillah. And we can even be Mevatel Torah for Mikra Megillah, since the Megillah is very, very chashuv, because it's Persume Nisa. Amreb Shmuel Baronya, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoiser Me'akravas Tamidim. Talmud Torah is even greater for bringing the Karban Tamid. In fact, we can even be Mevatel Torah for Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says, Ein Mayid Bifnei Talmud Chacham. If a Talmud Chacham dies, we do not need to hold back Avelos on Chol HaMoed, the way we'd normally hold it back for other people. Mikra Megillah is Odef Mi Talmud Torah, and Meis Mitzvah is Odef Mitalmud Torah Bachnasas Kala. The Gemara then asks, which is more chashiv, Mikra Megillah due to the fact that there is Persume Nisa, or Meis Mitzvah due to Kavod HaBrias? And the Gemara answers that Meis Mitzvah is more chashav, since we learn from the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yotes, Gadol Kavod Habrias Shadaycha Esleisase. And finally, the Gemara says a city which was inhabited and then got a wall after it was inhabited, that's considered a kfar, and you would read the Megillah for that city on Yudalad. Daf Dalad. The cities of Lud, Oinai, and Gecharshim are considered mukif from the days of Yehoshua, except during Pilegish Begiva, they were destroyed, and then they were rebuilt. The Gemara says women are also chayav in hearing the Megillah, since we say, Afhein hayu ba'esei hanes, they were also included as part of the Ness. Therefore, even though we know that it's a mitzvah sasei shahazman groma, since Haman wanted to kill the women also, they were included in the Ness. Therefore, they're also mechuyav in Mikra Megillah. Normally, again, as we said, women are normally pater from a mitzvah sasei shahazman groma, and since this is a mitzvah sasei shahazman groma, really they should be pater, but because of this reason, they're chayav. Rashi explains that the term afhein hayu ba'isei hanes means that the reason they're chayav is because they were also a beneficiary, they were also part of the nest that happened. In the Gemara in Psachim, we have a Rashbam, which has an alternative explanation to the words afhein hayu ba'isei hanes. Instead of saying that they were also a beneficiary, the Rashbam says that they were not just part of the Ness, but actually they were the catalysts for the Ness. Esther was the one who actually caused the Ness of Purim to happen. The same with Yehudas regarding Hanukkah. Tosfos here concludes just like Rashi. And Tosfos asks the question, if this is the case, so then why aren't women also mechuyev in matzah? Automatically, due to afhein hayu ba'isei hanes, they were also included in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we need a special pasuk to include them? We know that we have a special pasuk that comes to include women in the chiyuv to eat matzah. Why do we need a pasuk for it? Just say afhein hayu ba'isei hanes. So Tosfos answers that the svara of afhein hayu ba'isei hanes only has the potency to be mechayev women in a mitzvah derabanan, like Purim and Chanukah, but not a mitzvah daraisa like matzah. For that, you would need a special pasuk, which is what we have by matzah. The Vilna Gaon explains that the mitzvah of shalosh shudas must only be midrabanan, since the Ran says that women are mechuyev in shalosh shudas because of afhein hayu ba'isei hanes. And since afhein only works for a derabanan, then shalosh shudas only must be midrabanan, couldn't possibly be midaraisa. The Gemara says if Purim falls out on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah, but we must be shayel v'darish about Purim on that Shabbos. Tosfos adds that by Pesach, we are shayel in v'darshim 30 days before the Chag. The Gemara says that a person is mechuyev to read the Megillah at night and review it again in the morning. The Rishonim add that the Iker mitzvah of Megillah is by day. That's why we recite the Shehechiyanu again by day, even though we already said the Shehechiyanu the night before. The purpose of the Kula to read the Megillah before Yudalat is to sustain the B'nai Kfar with food, as we mentioned in the Mishnah. And finally, the Gemara says we never read the Megillah on Shabbos, since we're afraid of Shema Yavirenu Dalat Amas Bershus Harabim, the same fear that we have by Shofar and Lulav. Also, since the Aniyim are anticipating Matanis L'Avyanim, due to the fact that this mitzvah is mentioned in the Megillah, we do not read it on Shabbos. In other words, the Aniyim are listening to the Megillah. In the Megillah they hear that there are going to be Matanis L'Avyanim, and they're anticipating getting this. Since on Shabbos people cannot give them Matanis L'Avyanim, we do not read the Megillah on Shabbos at all, to foster this type of anticipation. Dafei. Only Megillah and Matanis L'Avyanim can be pushed back to the Yom HaKnisa. But Shlachmanis and Sudas Purim, Simcha, in other words, must be on Yudalat Adar, even for the people in the village. Rav says that if the Megillah is read Bizmana on Yudalat, a person can read it even biyachid, since it's automatically persuminisa. On that day, everybody knows why the person is reading it. But if the B'nai Kfar read it on the Yom HaKnisa, then it must be done with a minyan to create persuminisa. We see in Shulchan Aruch Simen Tafresh Tzadik, Halach Yud Ches, the Mechaber says that we have a mitzvah to read the Megillah with a minyan, Bizman Hazah. Unless it's impossible to get a minyan, then it can be done biyachidus. For example, if a person is in the hospital and you can't get a minyan, then you're allowed to read it biyachidus. The Mishnah. What is considered a big city, i.e. that you'll always have to read the Megillah on Yudalat and you would not be able to read it earlier? And the Mishnah says that any city that has Asara Batlanim, it's a city that employs 10 people that are always available for a minyan, these are the cities that are always considered big and always have to read it on Yudalat. If it's less than 10 people, then it's equal to a kfar, and then they can recite the Megillah even before Yudalat, in other words, on the Yom HaKnesa. The Gemara says, since the Pasuk says, Lechadshei Hashanah, this is in Shmais Perek Yud Beis, a Jewish year is calculated based on lunar months, not on the 365 solar days. From the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yud Aleph Ad Chodesh Yamim, we learn that a Jewish month must have a full number of days. In other words, it has to have 29 or 30 days. We know that normally a month is 29 days, 12 hours and 793 chalakim, but you cannot call Rosh Chodesh at that particular point in time, but rather you either have to go back to 29 full days or 30 full days. If Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, then we make it later. We do not move it earlier, like we would do on Purim, since we don't want to rush the remembrance of bad things. By Chagiga and Hakel, those mitzvahs, we also move it later versus earlier if those days fall on Shabbos. If a person did not bring his Karban Chagiga on the first day of Yontif, he can bring it any time until the last day of Yontif, even on Shmini Atzeres, for example. And when we're talking about Shavuos, one gets 7 full days for Tashlumim if he forgot to bring the Karban on Shavuos. Of course, we know if a person waited 3 Yomim Tovim, then he can be over on the Isser of Bal Ta'acher. The Gemara says on Purim, Hesped and Tainis are Asar, and some say that even malacha is asur on Purim. The maskana is that work is not asur on Purim, but it's better to minimize building or doing business transactions on that day. Rebbe lived in Tveria, and it had a wall around it from the days of Yehoshua, so Purim was on Tesvav, but the Gemara questions if this is true or not. And finally, the Gemara says the determining factor for when you read the Megillah depends on if it was Mukaf Chema in the days of Yehoshua or not. If it's one of the prazim, one of the open cities, then you lay in it on your dalet. Dafav. The place of Kinneret, this is the place called Ginoisar. And it's called Kinneret since it's shaped like a harp. Today we know the Yam HaKinneret in Eretz Yisrael is called that because it's shaped like a harp. And the city of Rakas is equal to Tveria. The name Tveria comes from Tuva Re'irasa. It's pretty to look at. If a city is a suffix, if it's Mukaf Chaima, the Ran says we read it on your dalet only. The Gemara says that Zvulun was not happy with the land that he got, since he only got waters and mountains. But Hashem told him that he was lucky, since he would have the exclusivity on the chalazon. This is the fish which carries the blue blood in it, which is used for tzitzis. And if anyone steals the chalazon without paying for it, he will not be matzliach with it. Tzipori is a chelek of Eretz Yisrael, and it is included with the bracha of Eretz Zavas Cholav Udavash. The Gemara says that La'asid Lavai, Hashem will remove the abominations of Esav, of Edom, and they will come to believe in Hashem. The Gemara says that the theaters and public places of Edom will become Bate Midrashis. Taisus adds a Yesh Mefarshim that say that even the places of Avodah Zarah will become Bate Midrashis. And Taisus asks, how is it Shayach that these terrible places of Avodah Zarah would be turned into shuls and Bate Midrashis? How is it possible to have that? So Taisus answers, it's not mamish these places of Avodah Zarah that become shuls, but rather places where people who serve Avodah Zarah come together. These places which have a sort of a feeling of Avodah Zarah, these places will be turned into Bate Midrashis. For example, places like Madison Square Garden or Dodger Stadium, which are places where people, all kinds of people gather, including people who are Ovid Avodah Zarah, these places will be turned into Bate Midrashis. The Magid of Ram in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses says that it is mutter to buy a church and convert it into a shul. But Dagul Merivava brings a raya from this Taisvis that you're not allowed to do that. Because Taisvis asks very clearly, the Kasha, Sha'isen Mekaimes Mutunafes Yachal Lumad Sham Taira, these places which are Makam Mutunafes, you're allowed to learn Taira. From there he learns that places like that, or places which were used surely for Avodah Zarah, cannot be turned into a shul. And the Gemara says, Amar Yaakov, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Al Titein Le'esav Harasha Taivas Libay, Zu Germamia Shel Adayim. We know that Yaakov said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give Esav this type of power, Germamia Shel Esav, because if he had this type of power, he could come to destroy the whole world. Rav Yaakov Emden says that this Germamia is probably referring to what we know today as Germany, that if they prosper, they would want to destroy the world. The lectures of Yeshiva Eish HaTorah point out that this Gemara is almost prophesizing the rise of Nazi Germany. As Rav Chama Bar Chanina mentions the notion of 300 monarchs in Germania. Historians say that in the 17th century, Germany was a patchwork of 300 sovereign monarchs until they were unified in the 18th and 19th centuries. Then, of course, they prospered and prosecuted Klal Yisrael, as well as attempting to conquer the world. This is very similar, interestingly enough, to our Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Im yomer lecha adam yagati v'lo matzasi, al tamin. Regarding Torah, if a person says he worked hard, but he didn't find the lessons of Torah that you're not supposed to believe in. Lo yagati yimatsasi, I didn't work hard, but I did find it. Al tamen, then you don't believe him. Yagati yimatsasi, if he says he works hard and he did find tamen, then you do believe him. From here you see, of course, the schusim of working hard and learning Torah. But, of course, the Gemara says, when it comes to parnasa, it's not totally in labor, but it's totally in siyata dishmaya. The Gemara says there are many Rishayim who, although they're Rishayim, get a lot of reward in this world. Of course, however, they'll get no reward in Olam Haba. The Gemara says the city of Rome was very wealthy. The Marsha points out from this Gemara that if Hashem rewards Rishayim with these types of cities, we should imagine what the reward will be for Klal Yisrael in Zman Mashiach. The next mission. If people read the Megillah on Yudalit Adar, and then they proclaimed a leap year, they must read it again on Yudalit Adar Sheni. And the Mishnah says there's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, except for Kriyas HaMegillah and Matanis LaAvyonim. These must be done in Adar Sheni, and cannot be done in Adar Rishon. Because we said before, these are tied to the Einehem Shalaniyim. They look forward to that when they hear the words Matanis LaAvyonim, read in the Megillah. They look forward to getting Matanis LaAvyonim. So since these two are tied, these must be done in Adar Sheni. And the Gemara says, we pass like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that all mitzvahs of Adar, not just Megillah and Matanis LaAvyonim, must be done in Adar Sheni, but not in Adar Rishon, since we darshan that it must be done in the Adar that is closest to Nisan. This is Adar Beis. We want to stress the theme of Geula for 2 months in a row. Adar Sheni, and then immediately Nisan. Rebbe Eliezer B'Rebbe Yaisi holds that Adar Rishon is the key month, not Adar Sheni, and that all mitzvahs are done then, since we say Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. Why wait till the second Adar when you can do it now in the first Adar? Daf Zayin. Originally, Purim was only supposed to take place in Shushan. Later on, they made it into a Chag that would be celebrated across the world, in fact, until this day. Today, we hold that you're not allowed to make Hesped V'tainis on Yudalit and Tesvav of both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. And of course, we know we do not say Tachnun on both Yudalit and Tesvav of both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim, asking if they should establish a Chag for her to celebrate Purim for generations. There are 3 places where Melchemes HaMolek is cited in Tanakh. Number 1 in Parshas Bishalach, number 2 Parshas Kisetze, which we read on Parshas Zohar, and number 3 in Shmuel. The Megillah, Megillas Esther, was written Beruach HaKadosh, and therefore it has Kedusha, but for the purpose of Kriya, not for being Metama someone whose hands touch it. It had to have been written with Ruach HaKadosh, since the Pasuk says, V'amar Haman Belibai. How do they know what Haman was thinking about in his heart? Obviously, Elamai, there was Ruach HaKadosh, and the Gemara brings many other riyas to prove that the Megillah was written with Ruach HaKadosh. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim tells us that Klal Yisrael was makabalit down here, kiblu, and that it was kimu, it was accepted in Shemayim up there. Shmuel also gives a pshat to prove Ruach HaKadosh, and the Gemara claims it was the sharpest of all the different pshatim that the Gemara gave. And as the Gemara says, as we know, Tava chada pilpulta charifta mimali dana kari, that one small sharp pepper is sometimes stronger than a whole big basket of melons. In other words, Shmuel's small pshat was better than all the others to prove that the Megillah was written with Ruach HaKadosh. The Gemara says that the days of Purim will be with Klal Yisrael forever. V'yemei HaPurim ha'ela lo yavru mitaych ha'yehudim. Rav Yosef learns that Mishleach Manas Ish L'Reyehu means plural, that you have to bring 2 gifts of food, but you bring it to one person. Mishleach Manas Ish L'Reyehu. One person gets it, but you bring multiple foods. Matanas L'Avyoinim means you bring 1 gift of tzedakah, but it's in plural. You bring it to 2 different people. Abaye says, Kofin Anya V'Loyada, an Ani so famished at many times that he's not even aware that he's famished. Ravcha levisima shchiach, there's always enough room for a person to eat sweet things even if he's eaten a full meal. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava, mechayve inish levisumi bepurya, ad lo yada bein oror haman lebarach Mordechai. A person on Purim is mechuyev to drink enough wine, so after he's drunk all that, he does not know the difference between oror haman and barach Mordechai. The Gemara says the Sudas Purim must be eaten by day. If it's eaten at night, then you're not Yaitza, since the Pasuk says, Yemei Mishneh V'Simcha. It has to be done during the day. Lahalacha, the minimum shear for Matanis L'Avyoinim, as the Ritva says, is a Shava Pruta. The minimum shear for Shlachmanis is a Shear Chashav. The Prima Gaonim adds that it must be something that can be eaten on Purim, and it's something that does not need significant preparation. This is the requirement for Shlach Manas. There was a machlekes ha-paiskim if the din of chayev adam levisumi, a person getting drunk, is a real halacha or not. This is due to the tragic maisa that the Gemara brings down about Rabba, who came and killed Reb Zera. Since this tragic maisa happened, it's questionable whether a person is required or not required to get drunk on Purim. The Mishnah. Ein bein Shabbos liyontev ala oichel nefesh bilvad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yontev is regarding cooking food. We know that on Shabbos it is also to cook food. This is one of the malachas. Mashenkin, on Yontev, it is mutter to cook food on Yontev. And the Gemara says, the only time cooking is mutter on Yontev is when we're talking about cooking itself. But machshirei oichel, the preliminary avoida necessary to do and to prepare the food, that's usur on both Shabbos and Yontev. Since the pasuk says, Hu levada yeyasa lachem. Only the malacha of cooking itself is mutter, but not machshirei oichel. This Mishnah obviously is not like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that machshirei oichel is mutter on Yontev. And the reason he says it's mutter is because the pasuk says yase lochem, that anything lochem is mutter. This we learn from the Gemara in Beah, Daf Chavchas. The next Mishnah. There is no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, except that on Shabbos, if you do a malacha, the misa is misa bidei adam, through Bezdin. But in Yom Kippur, if you do something like that, then you get misa bidei shamayim. And finally, the Gemara says, if while a person does a malacha on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, he also causes a loss of money, then he's only mechuyev in misa, but he's not mechuyev to pay the money. Since we say, kimle bidirabi mine, you only get the harsher punishment, not the smaller punishment. This is the shita of Reb Nechunya ben Hakana. Daf Ches, the Mishnah. One who makes a neder to not have pleasure from his friend cannot walk into the other person's house or use his kelim. As background to this, we know that a neder is when a person says harei alai. A person puts something on himself. An adava is when a person says harei zu. On the cheftza, he makes a certain promise on the cheftza. The only difference between the two is if a person promised to bring a carbon and the animal then dies, so if he made a neder, he's still mechuyev to bring a different behema. However, if he made an adava, then he's pater, since the designated animal has now died. And the Gemara says, in both nedarim and nedavas, there is a potential iser of bal ta'acher. If three yamim ta'ivim pass, and a person does not bring the carbon. Before we begin the next Mishnah, let us briefly review the halachas of zav v'zava and nida. If a man sees one re'iyah of ziva, he becomes a balkari, and he is tamei ad ha'erev. If he sees two re'iyas of ziva on one day, or two re'iyas on two consecutive days, then he becomes a zav. As a zav, he is tame and must count 7 days, shiva nikiyim, be tevel in a mikvah on the seventh day, and then at night he can eat kacha. However, if he sees three re'iyas of ziva in one day, or re'iyas for three consecutive days, then he must not only wait 7 days and go to the mikvah, but he must bring a carbon on the eighth day. After he is tevel, until the point he brings a carbon, he is called a mechusar kippurim, and he cannot eat kachim until he brings this carbon. That's a man. Now regarding a woman, zivus by a woman is only tolly in the number of days that zivus was seen. How many times in one of those days a woman saw it is irrelevant. Also, a woman can only become a zava if she sees dam outside her yamei nida. In other words, if a woman sees dam, she becomes a nida for a period of 7 days. It doesn't matter if she sees dam for 1 day, 2 days, or all 7 days. 7 days is the zman nida. If on the seventh day she stops seeing dam, she goes to the mikvah, and on the night of the eighth, she then becomes tahar. Back then, if she sees dam, however, after this point, any time over the next 11 days, she can potentially become a zava, because these 11 days are called her yemei zivus. There is an ongoing cycle here. After these 11 days, she can become a nida again. That's why these 11 days are also referred to as the achadasar yom shebe nida lenida. Therefore, a woman is either in her yemei nidus or her yemei zivus. During the yemei zivus, if she sees dam one day, she then needs 1 day of tahara, goes to the mikvah, and that evening she becomes tahar. This is what's known as shemeres yom kenegin yom. If she sees dam for 2 days, she's also a shemeres yom kenegin yom, and then she can become tahar. However, if she sees for 3 days in a row, she becomes a zava gemura, and she must wait 7 days, shiva nikiyim, go to the mikvah on the seventh day, bring a carbon on the eighth day, and then she can eat kachim. And the Mishnah says, if someone becomes a zav by seeing two re'iyas, then he's tameh, but no carbon is required. But if he sees three re'iyas, then he must also bring a carbon. And the Gemara says, a zav is an avatuma, and if someone touches the zav, he becomes a rishon latuma. Also, a zav is mechuyev to count shiva nekiyim. And if he sits on a bed, the bed becomes an av hatuma, since a zav is metama via mishkav umayshav. If a woman sees dam, she becomes a nida for 7 days. Then she can go to the mikvah. And midaraisa, even if she sees dam for the full 7 days, there is no concept of waiting zayin nekiyim. And as soon as the 7 days is up, she can go to the mikvah. After this 7 days, there is a new period of 11 days. If she sees dam for one of these days, she's called a shomeres yom keneged yom, but she's not a zava. But if she sees it for 3 days, she becomes a zava. The next Mishnah. A person who is definitely a mitzera muchlot, must tear his clothes and let his hair grow, priya ufrima. Later he cuts his hair and brings tziparim, tagalachas v'tziparim. And the Gemara says, whether he's a mitzera muchlot, definitely a mitzera, or a mitzera muskar, that he's quarantined, he must leave the shalosh machnais. The next Mishnah. The only difference between mezuzas tefillin and the other svarim shel Tanakh is that the svarim can be written in any language, but tefillin and mezuzas must be written in ksav ashuris, just like we do today. This is the special ksav written in Hebrew. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, even other svarim can only be written in Hebrew or Greek, not just any language. And the Gemara says, they must also be tied together with gidin. Rashi adds that the entire tefillin and mezuzah must be written on one piece of cloth, and not multiple pieces of cloth. And finally, the Gemara says, svarim must be written with a type of ink called diyai. Daf Tes. The Megillah must be written in ksav ashuris, the special Hebrew ksav that we know of today, since it says, kichsavam v'chilushaynam, in the Megillah. There was a special miracle in the days of Talmai HaMelech. He gathered the 72 Zekanim and put each of them in separate rooms and asked each of them to write the Torah. Hashem made a miracle that they all wrote it over the exact same way. But they also revised certain psukim exactly the same way between all of them, so as not to embarrass the king, or he shouldn't misinterpret certain psukim. For example, the pasuk that says, Ki vi'apam hargu ish, regarding Shimon v'Levi, they changed the pasuk to say, Ki vi'apam hargu shar. So Talmai shouldn't think that they were murderers. The halacha is like Shimon ben Gamliel, that one cannot write Kisvei Kodesh, Sefer Torah, in a foreign language, except Greek, since the pasuk says, Yafta elekim liyefes, v'yishkain bi'ohalei shem, that only Yavan, only Greek, the child of Yafes, can be included in ohalei shem, in other words, in these things. By tefillin and mezuzah, everyone agrees that it must be written in ksav ashuris of Lashon HaKodesh, the Mishnah. There are two ways a Kohen Gadol can become a Kohen Gadol, in other words, that he becomes initiated as a Kohen Gadol, either through anointing, and this was the process done during the first Pesach Hamikdash, or by wearing the special begonim. This was the process that was done during the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says the only difference between these two is par kayin hamashiach, that only an anointed one brings the par. This isn't like Rameir. The Gemara says once someone becomes a kayin gadol, he cannot then become a kayin hedyot, since we say mailin bakaydish v'ein marid. The Mishnah. There is no difference between the bama gedayla and the bama katana. Of course, this is true only at the time that these private mizbechas were mutter in the time of the Mishkan. The only difference is except Karban Pesach, which could only be brought on the Bama Gedayla. The next Mishnah. The only difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim is that in Shiloh we could eat Kachim Kalim and Maaser Sheni within viewing distance of Shiloh. Masha'en Ken Yerushalayim, they must be eaten within the walls. However, Kachim in both places had to be eaten within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Daf Yud. The Beis Chanya was not considered a makam avodah zarah. Therefore, there's a hava mina that it's mutter to bring karbanos on bamais. The maskana is that once the Beis HaMikdash was built, bamais were always asur. And this includes, of course, today. The Gemara says the Megillas Esther begins with the words Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh. Rabbi Levi says that any place in Tanakh it says Vayehi, it signals an upcoming trouble, an upcoming tsar. We see this in many places.